Inspector, stand by the door and try not to touch anything. There's a good chap.
Sorry.
Now.
What exactly are you hoping to find?
An absence of evidence.
Pardon.
What do you do for entertainment, you all?
Mr. Holmes?
Come on, it's a simple enough question. When you're not out keeping the streets safe for decent folk, what do you like to do? Read? Go to the theatre? Take long country hikes? What?
Mrs. Yawl and I are partial to a spot of bicycling. Not that I see the relevance of it.
And I'll enlighten you. If this were your house...
God forbid.
If this were your house, I wouldn't have needed to ask the question. I can read a man's hobbies as easily as a daily paper. Friend Sanders enjoys a drink down at the local hostelry, the odd flutter on the horses, and the frequent attentions of a female taller than 5 feet, but shorter than 5 feet 6, painfully thin, unnaturally blonde, and extremely partial to whelks.
Mr. Holmes...
All of which is of no importance whatsoever.
Well, then why the devil mention it?
It's what he doesn't enjoy that matters. Do you know, Yawl, there's a chance that this case may end up in one of Watson's storybooks after all.
Well, I must say it's pleasant to be back here again, Mrs. Hudson.
It's a pleasure to see you here, Doctor. So glad you enjoyed the holiday.
Oh, yes. Jean and I had a splendid time.
Good.
Mind you, it's quite a wrench getting back to work. My patients seem to have been waiting for me to show up so they can all be ill simultaneously.
Well, I'm pleased you took the time to call round. Oh, I do wish he wouldn't do that.
Do you know, if you asked me for one image that summed up my life here, a half-smoked cigar in the sugar bowl would be a pretty good one.
Yes, well, such things may be fine enough in the Strand magazine, Doctor, but I have to keep this place clean and tidy.
How long have you been worried about him, Mrs. Hudson?
Oh, almost a week now. To tell you the truth, I'm frightened for his health.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes...
Is he eating?
When will you be pleased to dine, Mr. Holmes, I said to him. 7:30, day after tomorrow, he says. I wouldn't mind if he meant it, but he doesn't.
I'll have a word with him. When will he be back?
Doctor!
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, stupid question. I'll wait as long as I can.
Mrs. Watson won't be concerned.
Mrs. Watson has had my undivided attention for the past 2 weeks. I think I'm entitled to at least one day on my own.
Good, good! Keep that left up, boy! No, don't dance around like some fairy! Get in close! Close! No, bad luck. All right, that's enough.
How am I doing?
You've got to watch that left.
Yeah, where'd the boss go?
You let me worry about that.
Did he see her?
Yeah, I reckon I got her out before he had a chance.
Nobody's supposed to be here. Not while he's watching me training.
You think I don't know that? She was just a poor old halfwit, wandered in out of the rain.
Yeah, and yesterday was the man fixing the drains. Boss didn't like that, did he?
No, he didn't like that.
Don't make him mad, Larry. His lordship don't like to get mad.
Vanderbilt and the Yeggman. Vipers. Vigor, the Hammersmith Wonder. Venomous Lizard or Healer. Victor Lynch, the Forger. Talk about a system all his own. Hello, old man. Oh, I beg your pardon.
If you'll wait in here, my lord.
Who are you, sir?
Lord Cantlemere, Dr. John Watson.
How do you do, my lord?
What time do you expect, Holmes?
I've really no idea.
If he's not here in 10 minutes, I shall be leaving.
Yes, sir. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Did Mr. Holmes arrange to meet you here, my lord?
I really don't see that it's any business of yours, Dr...
Watson.
Watson.
I have acted as Mr. Holmes' partner for many years. If you have a message for him, I'd be perfectly happy to convey it.
I was opposed to calling in Holmes from the beginning. I'm certainly not about to discuss my private affairs with a mere assistant.
Just as you'd like.
Oh, that was uncalled for. I ask your pardon, sir.
You have it, my lord, but the apology is not necessary. It's perfectly natural for you to be on edge. Only people with problems come to these rooms. Mr. Holmes probably won't be long. Why don't you take a seat? Good afternoon, madam.
Who the devil are you, woman? Am I to have no privacy at all?
I've got a spot of bother. Are you Sherlock Holmes?
No, madam. I'm his friend, Dr. Watson.
What about you?
Certainly not.
No, I didn't think so. I've heard Sherlock Holmes is a handsome man.
Oh, this is intolerable. When Holmes returns, tell him I called.
I shall, my lord.
And you may also tell him that when I engaged his services, I expected to be purchasing his undivided attention.
Holmes, for the love of heaven!
And a very good day to you too, Doctor.
That was Lord Cantlemere.
I'm well aware of who he is, Watson.
He's obviously worried to death about something, and you...
It has to be the French jewellery. What's happened?
No questions for a minute. They're a good chap. That's better. These wigs can get infernally hot.
Oh, Holmes, for pity's sake.
Has it been stolen?
Not all of it.
What?
His Majesty's government has been careless enough to misplace the Mazarin stone.
Oh, good God. You do know what that could do to relations with France.
Fortunately, I found the thief.
Never mind the thief. Have you found the diamond?
Can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah, right. Well, there's Holy Harry, what goes round and up like a priest, and, yes, that brings it right back to me. Old Mr. Sweet, the peg-leg tinker. Billy Escort, the plumber, got a tank of milk in his off, he has, and, come on, Squire. No sense in only having half the story now, is there? Yeah. Only you was a wise man. And there's poor old Mary, what can hardly walk, and tonight it's my shift. Keeping an eye on you, we are, for, well, let's just say, for someone. Of course, I'm taking a risk to any risk, but, well, if you want the name as well. Oh, that's very generous. Very generous indeed.
He's asleep just at the present, Doctor, but he asked me to wake him as soon as you arrived.
I'm earlier than I said. You could give him a few more minutes. Good Lord, Mrs. Hudson. I haven't seen that in a few years.
No, not since the day he came back from the dead.
The old waxwork bus. Really does look amazingly like him. And he's put his dressing gown round his shoulders again. Mrs. Hudson, what's going on?
Keep away from the window, both of you. That's better. Watson, you come at a critical moment.
So I gather.
You'd better go now, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, I'm going right enough. See if you can talk some sense into him, Doctor.
That woman is a problem.
Well, that's a fine way to talk, considering what she had to put up with from you.
That's not what I mean. How far am I justified in putting her in danger? I'm expecting something this evening.
Expecting what?
To be murdered.
You're joking.
My dear Watson, even my limited sense of humour could evolve a better joke than that.
He's in there right enough, boss. And he's had one caller, still inside. Gent, 40s. Big man. No problem.
We may as well be comfortable while we wait.
Look at you. Why the devil do you stop eating like this?
Because the faculties become refined when you starve them. Blood supply for digestion means less for the brain. I'm a brain, Watson. The rest of me is a mere appendix.
That is complete and utter rubbish. Keep this up and the only thing you'll be is dead.
Have you seen the new lights?
Did you hear what I said? What new lights? What are you talking about?
Progress, Doctor. Every modern comfort and convenience.
Edison lights. You've had electricity laid on.
Mrs. Hudson had some trifling objection to the gas. Said it was old-fashioned and it smelled.
She's quite right.
That was why I liked it. Yes, but electricity or gas, it serves the same purpose. It'll throw a shadow of the bust onto the blind. My wax friend will take the shot meant for me.
It worked before. I suppose it'll work again.
In case it doesn't.
Holmes!
In case it doesn't, perhaps you'd be kind enough to make a note of the name and address of my murderer.
There are times when conversation with you becomes positively unreal. Do you know that?
Write it down, Watson.
Very well. Go on.
Oh, damn.
Come in, Mrs. Hudson.
I'm sorry to intrude, gentlemen.
Yes, yes, what is it?
A visitor, sir.
Now?
His card.
Wait 1 minute and then show him up.
Very good, sir.
If I'm not in the room, show him in all the same. Then leave him alone and wait on the landing, if you'd be so kind. I'll need you again very shortly.
Yes, sir.
Holmes, who's downstairs?
The man himself.
You mean the man who wants to kill you?
The very same. You must go.
I shall do nothing of the sort.
Watson, you'd be horribly in the way.
In his way? Oh, I should certainly hope
no,
so.
No, no, in my way.
I can't possibly leave.
Yes, you can, and you will. You've never yet failed to play the game, and you'll play it to the end.
I've no intention of allowing this to be the end.
Then do as I ask. Take a cab to Scotland Yard and come back with Inspector Yall and a couple of men.
All right. But I can hardly go down while he's standing in the hall.
We'll wait in my bedroom. As soon as he's in, you can leave through the other door.
Very well. Holmes, are you armed? Good.
Listen.
This way, please, sir.
Come on.
Right.
In here, please. Mr. Holmes will be with you shortly.
Good evening.
You are Sherlock Holmes.
And you are Signor Negretto Silvius, known as the Count.
I am a Count. The title is mine by right.
Of course it is. Have you made the acquaintance of my wax friend?
I could hardly fail to notice it.
It's a pretty thing, isn't it?
It's a matter of opinion.
Such a good likeness. I'm not convinced that the colouring's exactly right. What do you think?
I am come here to discuss waxworks.
No, I scarcely thought you had. Perhaps it'll be less distracting behind this. Yes, that's better. It's amazing what can be hidden behind a perfectly respectable screen. Don't you find? How's the boxing business?
Why have you put your creatures on my track?
My creatures?
The foul-mouthed plumber, the old tinker, the phony priest, that disgusting old hag.
You flatter me.
What?
Old Baron Dowson said, the night before he was hanged, that what the law had gained, the stage had lost.
They were all you? You yourself?
Every single one, friend. Every single one.
Yes,
no doubt, but a business. I want that diamond.
What diamond?
Now, please don't waste my time. We both know what I'm talking about. You're here to find out how much I know and how far my removal is essential. Let me help. I'd say that from your point of view, it was absolutely essential. Excuse me.
I'm not ready to leave yet, Holmes.
Mr. Holmes, Count.
If you wish.
Oh, most definitely. They heard a lot, my creatures. They listened and they learned, and I'm playing with a strong hand, Count, a very strong hand. Only one card is missing. I don't have the Ace of Diamonds, and I want that card. Ah, Mrs. Hudson. You'll find a large and ugly gentleman waiting outside our front door. Ask him to come up, please.
And if he won't, sir?
No violence, Mrs. Hudson. Don't be rough with him. Tell him that the Count wants him. He'll come.
Very good, sir.
You won't die in your bed, Mr. Holmes.
I've often had the same idea. Does it matter very much?
Well, let's find out.
Now, there's no point in that, my friend. You know perfectly well that you daren't use it. Nasty, noisy things, revolvers. Do you know it's getting quite dark? Time to turn on the lights. If you'd excuse my back for a moment. Ha! Electric lights. Electric bells. The miracles of modern science.
You have nerve. I admire that.
And I admire a man who can burgle a safe and not leave a single trace. And so, incidentally, does my landlady.
How did you find me?
In future, don't let your hired hands pick up specialized slang from your boxing cronies. Ikey Sanders don't want to be a Barney all his life. Now, where else could he have learned that?
That led you to me? One bloody phrase?
No, Count, that's not the kind of language I expect from the aristocracy. Yes, that was the first link in the chain, and once I had it, all the others fell neatly into line. Ah, the fairy footsteps of your worthy partner.
Mr. Sam Merton.
Good evening, Sam. Rather dull in the street, wasn't it? Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. Oh, please, don't let the cows little toy disturb you. Everything's under control.
If you say so, sir.
What is this? What's up, boss?
Ask him.
Good advice. To put it in a nutshell, Sam, I'd say it was all up.
Is he trying to be funny or what? I'm not in the mood.
I think I can promise you that you'll feel even less humorous as the evening progresses.
Enough jokes. Get to the point.
Yeah.
Very well. I'm prepared to offer you a deal.
What sort of deal? What do you mean?
First, put down the gun. Well, if you're not interested. Yeah, that's much better. Now, Count, I don't want you or Sam. I want the diamond.
What diamond?
Shut up.
Give me the Mazarin stone and you can go free so long as you behave yourselves in the future.
Are you being serious?
Completely.
How do I know I can trust you?
You have my word as a gentleman. Now, perhaps you'd like to talk it over. I'm going into my bedroom to run through the Hoffman barcarolle. When I come back, I want your final answer.
How much does he know?
Quiet, you fool.
Wait. Right. Now you can talk.
He's alone in there. Let me do him in.
We'd never get away. Besides, the woman's seen us.
Well, she'd be no problem. Just say the word.
And will you kill everyone who sees us leave the house too? Stop trying to be clever. It doesn't suit you.
Oh, I don't like this room.
What?
Too many places for a copper to hide. What's behind here?
Oh, for God's sake, it's just a dummy.
I could see that. Took me by surprise, that's all. Yeah. God, it's a living spit of him. What's he want something like that for? It's not natural. You ask me, he's not all there. What do you reckon?
Oh, will you let me think?
Yeah, who's playing about?
Holmes! What's going on?
What's the matter with the lights?
Holmes!
Oh, stupid thing.
Keep still, you blundering off!
Oh, that's better. Well, this is a bloody strange house.
The fearless fighter, scared of the dark.
I am not. I wish I'd never heard of that damn diamond. It is safe, isn't it? He can't have got it without your knowing.
Of course not.
Are you sure?
For God's sake. I've got it on me now.
Then, well, show me.
What?
Show me. I want to see it.
Don't be stupid.
It's stupid, is it? Who was it found Ikey Sarnas for you? Who was it kept watch at the house? I could have been nabbed easy while you was getting it.
Sammy, get it off! Let go of me! Let go of me!
Show me the stone!
All right, all right! It's better. Now, here you are.
Good. I just wanted to see it.
What a coincidence, so did I. I suggest that not moving would be highly beneficial to your health. I believe I'll take that. Thank you, Count.
But what happened to the dummy? How did you get there?
He did it while the lights were out, of course.
Are you laughing at me?
No, my dear Sam, I'm not.
Good.
Well, you seem to be in remarkable spirits for a man whose next address is going to be care of Scotland Yard.
It's almost worth it. You know, Holmes... Sorry, Mr. Holmes. I've been associating with people like Sam here for too long. I've forgotten what a pleasure it is to enjoy the company of an intelligent man. A most ingenious plan, worthy almost of myself. I congratulate you.
You're too kind.
And the music, a brilliant touch.
I thought so.
Look, all right, you've got me. It's a fair cop.
Thank you, Sam. Very gracious of you, if a touch unoriginal.
Yeah, but that damn fiddle's getting on my nerves. Can't you tell him to stop, whoever he is?
No, I'm afraid I can't.
Hey, well, why not?
Because, Sam, there's no one there.
Exactly. Huh? A remarkable invention, these modern gramophones.
Get your hands off me. The blood of the aristocracy flows in my veins.
Well, I beg your lordship's pardon, I'm sure. I do hope these aren't too tight for your delicate skin.
Perhaps you'd like the doctor here to check.
He'll live.
Mr. Holmes.
Your Excellency.
Tell me something. Would you have kept to the deal? Would you really have let me go free if I'd given you the stone?
Mr. Holmes?
Well,
what do you think? Exactly.
Have you finished, Mr. Holmes?
For now.
Right. Put him with the other one, Mags.
Do you know, Holmes, if our positions had been reversed, you could have trusted me too. Every bit as much. You have my word as a gentleman. Lead on, Mags.
Fascinating man.
Well, I must see about things at the yard. Thank you for bringing me in at the kill, Mr. Holmes.
My pleasure, you all.
It could have been a kill, quite literally. You took one hell of a risk.
It had to be done.
Sir?
Inspector.
About my theory, I'd be grateful if you could... Well, forget about it.
My dear Yule, it's well known that I never listen to the theories of anyone from Scotland Yard. I've no idea what you're talking about.
This is the most amazing contraption. Can you get any Gilbert and Sullivan, do you suppose?
Sorry.
Carry on.
Thank you. As I was saying, or trying to, the whole thing is thanks entirely to Mrs. Hudson.
Ah, it's good to hear you appreciating her for a change. I hope it lasts.
Fascinating, isn't it, that a chance remark could knock everything into place? I should have seen it straight away. I've had dealings with Ikey Saunders for years, and never once have I known him take an interest in the noble art of fisticuffs. A quick look at his room confirmed it.
And so you decided that he'd been hanging around a boxing gym for some other reason. All on the basis of a bit of slang. Ooh, it strikes me as quite a long shot.
It was a perfectly logical deduction, and it was a key that unlocked my list of witnesses. One of the museum guards had run up crippling debts gambling on prize fights, debts which had miraculously disappeared.
Bribe money.
Exactly. Mm. And from there to the count, it was just a matter of persuasive questioning and a lot of legwork.
Well, I'm glad it worked out. But you must admit, it was a long shot.
Watson, if you don't like it, you can leave it out of the story. Do what you usually do and make up something more lurid.
I wish this ridiculous fasting was only fiction. I tell you, one of these days you're going to push yourself to...
Ah, how splendidly appropriate, saved by the bell.
You were expecting someone?
I certainly am. The irascible Lord Cantlemere.
I dare say you'd be irascible too if your whole career was at stake. And your play-acting didn't exactly help. When did you send for him?
I arranged the appointment yesterday.
Yesterday? Don't you think that was just a little overconfident?
No. Besides, I had to solve his case for him to make up for all the time I had him as chief suspect. Excuse me.
You thought he was behind it?
Yes, until the boxing connection totally ruled him out. There are certain similarities between professional pugilists and politicians. His noble lordship has no links at all with that particular world.
Oh, I should think not. Holmes, what the devil are you doing?
Just clearing the stage for the final scene. Come in.
Lord Cantlemere, gentlemen.
Good evening, Lord Cantlemere. How do you do?
Mr. Holmes. Doctor.
My lord.
Come in, my lord. It's chilly for the time of year, don't you think? But rather warm indoors. May I take your coat?
No, thank you.
Oh, I insist. Sudden changes of temperature can be very damaging. Let me help you.
Enough, sir. I'm quite comfortable.
Oh, as your lordship pleases.
Now, how is your task progressing?
It's... very difficult.
Holmes.
Every man finds his limitations, Mr. Holmes. It cures us of the weakness of self-satisfaction.
You see, I can undoubtedly frame a case against the actual thief.
Once you have caught them.
But how should we proceed against the receiver?
Isn't this rather premature?
Well, it's as well to have our plans ready, don't you agree, Doctor?
I certainly think we should be quite sure of what we're doing, yes.
Well, there you are. So, my lord, what would you regard as final evidence against the receiver?
The actual possession of the stone, of course.
In that case, my dear sir, I'm under the painful necessity of ordering your arrest.
Mr. Holmes, in 30 years of official life, I cannot recall such an insult. I'm a busy man, sir. I have the honour to wish you good evening.
One moment, my lord.
Get out of my path.
No, sir.
This is intolerable. Let me pass.
Put your right hand into the pocket of your overcoat.
What do you mean, sir?
Come on, do as I ask.
What possible purpose will be served at... What? What? Thank you.
You know, that sense of humour's going to get you into real trouble one of these days. Suppose he died from the shock.
Well, at least you'd have been on hand to make out the certificate. Cause of death, finding a £100,000 diamond in his pocket.
That is not very funny.
Come on, he gave as good as he got.
Yes, and more power to him. Mr. Holmes, your sense of humour is perverted, and its exhibition untimely in the extreme.
Well, almost as good as he got. No, but you didn't finish. I'm greatly your debtor, and I withdraw any reflection I have made against your amazing powers. I hope you've made a note of that for the story. Good, good. Now, do you have to rush off back to hearth and home?
I told Jean to expect me when she saw me.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're still master under your own roof.
You have a most peculiar idea of what marriage is all about. Why do you ask, anyway?
Because I find myself in urgent need of your assistance.
You do?
Oh, yes.
Well, then, I suppose I'm yours to command. As usual.
Excellent. Here are your orders. Ring the bell, summon the invaluable Mrs. Hudson, and ask her to send up dinner for two as soon as possible.
In The Mazarin Stone, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. With Anthony Bate as Lord Cantlemere, Nigel Anthony as Count Silvius, and Joan Matheson as Mrs. Hudson. Inspector Yall was played by David Jarvis, Sergeant Peabody by Malcolm Ward, Sam by Lyndon Gregory, and Sanders by Peter Whitman. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinists were Leonard Friedman and Mari Campbell. The Mazarin Stone was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Patrick Rayner.
So, Watson, what do you make of that?
What am I supposed to make of it?
Oh, come on, Doctor, you know my methods. Observe and deduce. Observe and deduce.
Holmes, where did this come from?
Well, there are two answers to that.
Two answers?
At least.
What's the first?
It arrived in the post this morning.
Ah. Who sent it?
There was no letter.
No letter?
None.
Is the second answer equally unhelpful?
It's more interesting.
It could hardly be less interesting.
True.
Well?
Well, what?
Holmes, what is the second answer? Where did this thing come from?
I can't be absolutely sure.
Right.
As you know, I never guess.
Yes, I know.
But if my deductions are correct...
Holmes...
It was extracted from the stomach of a dead millionaire.
The Peculiar Persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden by Bert Cools. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Jane Asher as Mrs. Harden. The Peculiar Persecution of Mr. John Vincent Harden.
You're not serious.
I'm always serious. Well, almost always.
Then how in the world did you deduce that?
Well, first things first, Doctor. The object itself. Describe it.
Well, what's the point? We can both see the thing.
In some ancient cultures, they believe...
Yeah, these wouldn't be ancient Eastern cultures by any chance.
In some ancient Eastern cultures, they believe that to describe a thing is to know it.
Yes, and in some modern Western cultures, they believe that to infuriate a fellow lodger beyond endurance is to risk unreasoning acts of violence.
You, my dear fellow, never.
No, I wouldn't be so sure.
No, I never can get your limits. Actually, it's a perfectly sound idea. I'll give it a try.
Yes, all right, all right. well... It's made of metal, highly polished.
Chromium-plated.
It's cylindrical, about, what, an inch and a half long by half an inch in diameter. Pointed at one end, blunt at the other. The squared-off end is, what's the word?
Knurled.
That's it, yes.
Roughened to afford a grip.
And the pointed end has a series of grooves cut round it.
Bravo, you have it.
Well, hardly. I hate to argue with your ancient Eastern cultures, but I've still no idea what it actually is. Unless... Holmes, is it some sort of bullet?
An intelligent deduction, given where it was found. I had the same notion.
Ah, then I'm right. killed by a chromium-plated bullet. That has to be unique.
I'm afraid not.
Good Lord, it's not unique?
It's not a bullet. Even a surface as hard as that would bear the marks of having been fired from a gun or rifle. There are a few scratches, but they're the wrong sort at the wrong end, the pointed end.
If it's not a bullet, what the devil is it?
I haven't the faintest notion.
Oh. Well, then, what on earth makes you think it came from the stomach of a dead millionaire?
I did say I couldn't be sure.
I know you better than that. You've a pretty good idea.
Yes, take a look at the wrapping paper.
Oh, well, it's perfectly ordinary brown parcel paper. Mm-hmm. Stamps, address written on a gum paper label. What about it?
Well, there are several indications. Firstly, the paper isn't exactly perfectly ordinary. It's distinctly superior in quality. Mm-hmm. The same is true of the address label. You noticed, of course, that part of the label's been cut away.
Show me.
There. The one long edge is slightly jagged.
Oh, you're right.
The label has a printed return address, which tells us...
that, whoever sent you this sends out a good number of parcels?
Exactly so, exactly so. Why else bother to have labels printed? The handwriting's clear and confident. An educated man. And he uses a good quality pen and expensive ink. Now, smell the paper.
Smell it?
Yes.
Well, if you say so.
Hmm. Well?
What am I supposed to find?
Try the inside.
Oh. Ah, is that tobacco?
In a way.
In a way? In what way? Well,
try the evidence of the box.
What box?
The box which contained the metal cylinder.
The box you conveniently forgot to mention.
Here.
Thank you. I know. Observe and deduce. It's cardboard, rectangular, with a close-fitting lid. Ah, there was another label glued to the lid, but it's been torn away. Inside, lined with smooth, glossy paper.
Smell it, smell it.
I was going to. Same as the paper, but stronger. No, it's not tobacco. I can't quite place it.
Snuff.
Ah, that's it. Never cared for it.
No, nor I. But it's one of Brother Mycroft's weaknesses. And if I'm right, that's not just snuff. It's very expensive, exclusive snuff.
But snuff isn't usually kept in boxes like this, surely?
I believe that's a sample box for sending out small quantities to shops or as a gift.
Ah.
And so, what do we have? Money, snuff, a mysterious object, an anonymous parcel from an educated man, and this final element in the puzzle which I believe you'll have no problems in recognising. Yeah. The metal cylinder was wrapped in that.
Oh, this is surgical gauze.
Exactly. Smell it, Doctor.
Somehow I just knew you were going to say that.
Oh. Your diagnosis?
Preserving fluid.
Yes.
Someone tried to preserve a polished metal cylinder?
I fancy the smell comes from the gauze's former location, not its use. Does the name John Vincent Harden mean anything to you?
The tobacco millionaire?
The late tobacco millionaire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's been kept out of the papers. He was found dead in his study a few days ago.
Heart attack?
Bullet.
Wait, he was murdered?
Shot at close range by an assassin who was seen but can't be identified.
A mysterious stranger?
I thought it might appeal to your sense of the melodramatic.
Murder? So, there will have been a post-mortem?
Exactly. And the following day, or near enough, this little puzzle arrives to perplex us. Wrapped in gauze, which reeks of the mortician's slab in a box used for high-quality snuff, hardened snuff, if I'm right. Is it so unreasonable to suggest that this mysterious metal cylinder was found inside the dead man's body?
I suppose not.
But the stomach's something of a leap in the dark, I admit it.
A guess, in other words?
Oh, certainly not.
Yes, but why was there no letter?
Ah, I believe it's a test.
A test?
To see if I'm up to the task. If I can deduce who sent it and why, I'll be judge fit to investigate what it all means.
Damnable cheek.
Oh, I don't know. It served to capture my attention.
So, who did send it?
At first I thought it might be Harden's widow, but the writing on the label is unmistakably masculine. And I suspect it was the dead man's secretary or personal assistant working on the widow's behalf.
Yes, I suppose that's possible.
Rather more than merely possible, I fancy. Anyway, we'll know soon.
We shall?
I telegraphed the widow soon after I received the parcel. She'll reply straight away.
Well, it'll be a touch embarrassing if you're wrong.
Don't concern yourself. I'm not wrong.
Mr. Holmes, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Your stories do not exaggerate, Doctor.
No, I've never found it necessary, Mrs. Harden.
No, I can understand that. Mr. Holmes, you are right in every particular. That object was in my husband's stomach. The police appear to be completely baffled.
And I suggest that in this instance, appearances are not deceptive.
Are you baffled, Mr. Holmes?
I am intrigued.
So you will accept the case?
I must warn you that the trail will almost certainly have gone cold. The presence of the British policeman is guaranteed to eradicate most clues, I'm afraid.
Mr. Holmes, I wish to know who killed John and why. If you won't help me, I'm quite certain that no one else can.
In that case, how can I refuse?
This is a magnificent house, Mrs. Harden.
Thank you, Doctor.
Where exactly is your husband's office?
It's one of a suite of offices, custom-built in the new wing. The hub of the empire, John liked to call it.
A suite of offices implies a number of administrative staff.
Just two. Michael Phillips, my husband's personal assistant, and Miss Johnston, who does the typing and filing.
Perhaps Mr. Phillips could tell us what happened on the day of your husband's... Perhaps he could tell us what happened on the day.
I appreciate your delicacy, Dr. Watson, but it isn't necessary. I can tell you myself. Some of it, at least. Thank you. John rarely received visitors here, but it did happen from time to time. 5 days ago, a man called to see him.
Did you see this man yourself?
No, there's a separate entrance to the offices.
Who did see him, Mrs. Harden?
Miss Johnston was off that day. Mr. Phillips let the man in and escorted him through to John's office.
And then I went back to my own. Mr. Sherlock Holmes, I presume.
And my associate, Dr. Watson.
Mr. Phillips.
Doctor, you passed the test then, Mr. Holmes?
Self-evidently. Was this visitor expected?
He was not. He just turned up at the door.
Did Mr. Harden usually receive people without an appointment?
No, Doctor.
So why was this instance an exception?
When I took in the man's name...
Not his card?
He didn't offer a card. It wasn't really the type.
Well, we'll come to his type in a moment. When you took in the name...
Mr. Harden immediately asked me to show him in.
How did he react to the name?
I've just told you, by asking me to admit the man.
Yes, yes, yes. But how did he react? With interest, with fear, with joy? How?
I could see nothing in particular.
Indeed. Mrs. Harden...
Mr. Holmes...
I've no wish to distress you unduly.
I am not easily distressed, sir.
So I observe. But nonetheless, perhaps you'll be kind enough to return to the main house and wait for us there.
Very well. Gentlemen.
Mrs. Harden.
Now, Mr. Phillips, there are two things you can do for me.
And what might they be?
Firstly, show me your office.
Surely you mean Mr. Harden's office?
Your office. And secondly...
Yes?
You can stop lying and start telling me the truth.
This is my office, or do you believe
please,
that
please, sir, say, stay here in the doorway.
Or do you believe that I'm lying about that, too?
Well, one moment, please. Yes. It's very good. Very good. You may enter.
I'm much obliged to you. May I be permitted to know just what I've been lying about?
About Mr. Harden's reaction to his visitor's name. Please don't bother to deny it.
Very well. But it was for the very best of motives.
To protect Mrs. Harden from the truth.
Exactly.
And what is the truth?
It seemed to me, Mr. Holmes, that when I announced the name...
Well, go on, Mr. Phillips. This will not go beyond these walls.
Well, he went as white as a sheet. He was as scared as I've ever seen a man.
Fascinating. I take it that this wasn't exactly in character.
Most definitely not. Mr. Harden was fearless.
Well, not always, it seems. You may show me Harden's office now, but before you do...
What?
Be so good as to tell us this name that drove such terror into the heart of a fearless man.
Mr. Holmes, the visitor's name was Mr. John Smith.
Oh, exactly as I feared.
If Scotland Yard had driven a herd of buffaloes through here, there could hardly be more mess. When will they learn?
May we come in?
Yes, 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 yes. Add to the mayhem. Now, Mr. Phillips, did you observe this John Smith's departure?
I could hardly have failed to do so. After I heard the gunshot, I rushed out into the corridor and the man practically knocked me down.
Deliberately, sir?
I don't think he even saw me. He was rushing to get out.
Did you try to catch him?
No. Well, not at first. I came here, to Mr. Harden's office.
You stopped in the doorway, took in the sight, then turned back and ran after the man Smith.
How on earth do you know that?
I see it. I deduce it. Even Her Majesty's constabulary haven't succeeded in removing all the traces. Now, what did you see when you reached the door to the outside?
Nothing. He had disappeared.
And so you returned here?
Yes. Dear God, it was a horrible sight.
Now, where exactly was the body?
Face down, beside the desk.
Show me.
Here.
Show me exactly.
You want me to lie down?
Yes, the position may be of vital importance.
If I must.
Yes.
There.
Thank you. Thank you. And the gun. I understand it was left behind.
Yes. May I?
Oh, yes, if you wish. Yes, 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 yes. Now, you were saying the gun?
Underneath Mr. Harden's body. There must have been a struggle and he fell forward.
Was this window open?
Yes. Mr. Harden was fond of fresh air.
That is immensely significant. I take it you described Mr. John Smith to the police.
As best I could. He was a nondescript sort of man. Mid-twenties, rather coarsely spoken, but uncommonly well-dressed. Too well, if you ask me.
No? Can you be more specific?
His suit was expensively cut, but he wore it as though he'd never owned one before.
Describe the gunshot.
Describe it? It was just a shot.
Yes, well, I dare say that you don't routinely encounter gunshots in your line of work.
Of course not.
Now, I appreciate that you don't have many grounds for comparison, but I ask you again, please try to describe the shot.
What is there to say?
Well, for example, this room is panelled in oak. There's not much soft material to absorb sound. The shot would have been reverberant, echoing.
Actually, Doctor, it wasn't. It was rather a dull sort of sound.
And not as loud as you'd expect a firearm to be.
Well, yes, that did occur to me.
Show me the door to the outside.
Not more than a minute had gone by, but he was nowhere to be seen.
You alerted the staff.
The grounds were searched at once.
And the house?
I beg your pardon?
Well, surely it occurred to someone that the man could simply have come back inside the house until the hue and cry was over.
We didn't search the house. And neither did the police.
Well, even if he didn't go back inside, there are dozens of places out here he could have hidden.
So we've had sufficient rain to wash away the most obvious of traces. Oh. Mr. Phillips, you will wait in your office. Watson, let's see what we can rescue from this mess. Close the door. There's a good fellow.
Right.
Mr. Phillips is well within earshot, I fancy.
You suspect him?
Why, hasn't it struck you that we only have his word for it, that the mysterious Mr. Smith was here at all?
Well, yes, it has. But why would Phillips want to murder Harden? He has had a good job, obviously well paid, lots of responsibility.
We must investigate our millionaire's will. Oh, what do you make of the late Mr. John Vincent Harden?
From his office, you mean? Well, it's neat and tidy, so I dare say he was methodical in his thoughts, and beyond that...
Oh, I think we can go just a little further. He was a man from a humble background who enjoyed the affection of his father. He was ambitious in his youth, somewhat ruthless in later years, but more mellow as he approached retirement. His work took him all over the world, but he didn't play a direct role in the day-to-day running of the business empire. His marriage was content, and his general sense of modesty was marked. He was dissatisfied with his lot in life and yearned for a simpler, more primitive existence.
My dear Holmes.
Is it really possible you don't see all this for yourself?
Oh, please, you know perfectly well that I don't.
Well, there's no great mystery to it. But take a look at the prints and photographs on the walls. The man's whole history is here. Our late millionaire's father ran a cigarette stand on King's Cross Station and was joined by his son when he was old enough to help. The later print shows the new sign, Harden and Son. That speaks of pride and affection. The stand has grown somewhat. Ambition on the part of the new employee.
You said he was ruthless.
Well, he doesn't progress from a cigarette stall to the worldwide tobacco empire by being kind and considerate to one's rivals. But he mellowed later. Yes, he was content to step back and let others manage the business. Now, there's nothing here of the tedious day-to-day administration. What else did I say?
His trips around the world? Ah, but I saw that one. That's a fine collection of souvenirs on the shelves.
And in the cases.
Some of these pieces, very valuable.
That the happy marriage?
No man puts a photograph of his wife where only he can see it if the marriage is unhappy. Now, behind that pile of books, you'll just see the edge of a framed certificate, an honorary degree from London University. Only the modest soul hides such a thing away. And only a man who yearns for a simpler life decorates his walls with paintings of rural idylls and improbably happy peasants toiling in the fields. Well?
And Mrs. Harden wonders why I see no need to exaggerate. Bravo, Holmes.
Thank you. But you'd be advised to save your applause until I've actually solved the case. Yes.
Now what are you looking for?
This.
But I don't understand. Why should anyone want to burn a cushion like that?
I'm afraid it was used to muffle the sound of the gunshot.
Oh, how horrible.
Tell me about your husband's trips abroad.
John loved to travel. He said it was to check up on all the foreign offices and factories, but that was just an excuse, I'm sure of it.
Did Mr. Phillips accompany him on these trips?
No, he liked to travel alone.
So you never went with him either, or any of your children?
We have no children.
Of course you do. If there were children, Watson, their photographs would undoubtedly have been displayed in the office alongside Mrs. Harden. Oh,
really, Holmes? I'm sorry you were never blessed, Mrs. Harden.
Thank you, Doctor. But some things are simply not meant to be.
You didn't say if you ever accompanied your husband.
Roaming around the globe is not for me, Mr. Holmes. I was always content to wait here for John to return. I'm sorry. Please go on with your questions.
Did Mr. Harden have any trips planned for the near future?
No, nothing at all, as far as I know.
Thank you. Just a little more and I'll be finished. Tell me about Mr. John Smith.
I know no one by that name, but surely it must have been false. The police certainly think so.
Well, then I wouldn't presume to disagree. Had Mr. Harden's manner changed at all of late?
In what way?
Well, did he seem at all nervous to you?
Not especially.
Did he take any unusual precautions about the house? Locking doors, that sort of thing.
The servants attended to all that.
And you noticed nothing out of the normal?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
There's no matter. What about the mysterious metal cylinder? Watson, do you have it?
Oh, yes. Here.
Mrs. Harden? Before the police extracted this from the body of your late husband, had you ever seen anything like it in his possession?
Never, Mr. Holmes. I give you my word.
As I see it, there are three possibilities.
They are?
He was forced at gunpoint to swallow it.
Alternatively?
It was introduced into his body after death.
Or he
swallowed it himself voluntarily. Why in the world would he do that?
Extend your thinking.
I've been trying.
Why would a man swallow something other than good, wholesome food or drink?
Well, any number of drugs have to be taken orally.
I doubt if small metal cylinders have any great medical efficacy.
I've heard of items being swallowed in order to smuggle them from one country to another. And he travelled all over the world, we know that. If the cylinder is hollow...
I'm afraid it isn't. And besides, there were no trips planned, assuming that the grieving widow is being entirely honest with him.
Surely you don't suspect her?
Well, there are parallel cases in the annals. I mean, did you think she was telling us the whole truth?
Maybe she was concealing something. About Harden's state of mind?
Yes, I wondered about that. An unexpected visitor with an everyday name doesn't normally induce fear, unless the man or the name is feared already.
Is it possible...
Go on.
Well, this sounds ridiculous on the face of it, but is it possible that the metal cylinder and the murder are totally unconnected?
Oh, there you are.
Ah, brilliant observation, Watson.
Mrs. Hudson has been muttering about ruined pork chops.
The wheels of officialdom do not turn to suit Mrs. Hudson's mealtimes, I'm afraid. Turn they do. Eventually, at least.
Did you get it?
I swear to you, Watson, it's easier to get a confession out of a murderer than a post-mortem report out of Scotland Yard. Are you going to eat that potato?
No.
Delicious.
You're welcome. Well?
Well, what?
What's it say?
Well... Exactly what you'd expect it to say. A single gunshot at close range, death instantaneous. No disease, deformity, or inherited defects. There are two interesting observations.
What are they?
No damage of any kind to the teeth or jaw, and no evidence of bruising or manipulation to the neck.
So the cylinder wasn't forced down his gullet after death?
No, seemingly not.
Perhaps I'm right, then. Perhaps it has nothing to do with the killing.
Well, we've come across extraordinary coincidences before.
Oh, true enough.
Yes, but it simply doesn't feel right in this case.
Mm, that doesn't sound very scientific.
Yes, you're quite correct. I'm convinced of it. If I can work out what this is, I'll have the key to the murder. I know it. May I have another potato?
No. Have you been up all night?
I didn't disturb you, I hope.
Oh, not in the least. Any progress?
Not in the least. Ow.
Oh, let's ring for some breakfast.
Do you think Mrs. Hudson will have forgiven me for wasting yesterday's dinner?
Oh, she probably gave it to the cat. That's what she usually does.
Really? I've no idea. So that's why it's been getting so fat lately. I deduced a plague of mice below stairs. Yes, ring for breakfast, Doctor. Well, the poor creature will be in grave danger of exploding.
What are your plans for today?
Back to the house, I think. Or more particularly, the garden.
Ah, to see just how the mysterious Mr. Smith managed to vanish so completely.
Actually, I'm more interested in why.
Why? Because he just murdered Harden, of course.
Ah, but had he? Had he?
You were quite right. Any number of places to hide. And even the open path curves around those trees within 50 yards. We're wasting our time here.
At least we're out in this glorious weather.
If John Smith did shoot Harden in cold blood, there's every chance we'll never be able to find out why.
Could he have been a business rival?
Well, not from Philip's description. And besides, business rivalries are usually resolved by subtler means, if no less vicious. Back to Harden's office, I think.
Everything comes down to this cylinder. Now, let's assume that Harden swallowed it voluntarily.
But why on earth would he?
Are you game for an experiment?
Well, if it'll help. And as long as you're not going to ask me to swallow that.
Rest easy, Doctor. Let me see. The body was discovered here.
Well, according to Phillips?
Yeah, from the traces on the floor, he was telling the truth. So, if he fell there, he must have been standing here. Do you agree?
Well, it seems logical.
Capital, take his place, would you?
What, you want me to be Harden?
If you would.
Oh, very well.
And I am the elusive Mr. Smith. Right. The door is closed. We face each other across the room.
Holmes, this is getting us nowhere.
Now, patience, Doctor. I have a gun. You have this.
Got it.
I'm about to shoot you, and you decide to swallow that. Why?
To prevent anyone else getting it. No, to prevent you getting it. Holmes, suppose he was killed for the cylinder.
Then why do I shoot you and run? Why didn't I try to retrieve it? No attempt was made to mutilate the corpse. Well,
perhaps you didn't have time.
If I'm bold enough to kill with witnesses to hand, I'm certainly bold enough to risk a few moments more.
Well, then, I swallowed it to prevent someone else getting it. Phillips or Mrs. Harden.
Yes, that makes more sense. But when did you swallow it? When?
Well, obviously not long before I was shot.
Let's change places.
Well, you want me to be Smith?
Yes, I'm sure your theatrical skills are up to it. Come on. Now, cylinder, please.
Yep.
Thank you. Now, I am Harden. You brandish your gun at me. You say...
Prepare to die.
Very good, Watson. And I say, no, no, don't shoot me. At least not until I've swallowed this. No. It simply won't do. It won't do.
It doesn't exactly sound likely. Then nothing to do with that damn cylinder sounds likely.
As usual, you cut straight to the heart of the problem. How high off the ground is this window? Ah, not far. That's excellent.
Why is it?
Because I've no wish to break my neck.
Holmes! Come in.
Sorry to intrude, gentlemen. I thought Mr. Holmes was in here.
There he was, Mrs. Harden. He's following up a clue.
Oh, I came to ask if you'll be requiring luncheon.
Oh, that's very good of you. I'll go and ask him by the conventional route. Your client thinks you've taken leave of your senses. She's offered us luncheon. Holmes.
What is that object, Watson? Why do I feel that the answer's staring me in the face?
Oh, take a break from it, old man. Come in and have something to eat.
No, I can't spare the energy.
Well, I hope you don't mind if I do. Perhaps I'll eat on the terrace. This weather's wonderful.
I envy you your simple pleasures.
Don't envy me, join me. Look at the way the trees are silhouetted against the sky, like those old-fashioned cut-out portraits. Hmm? Oh, for heaven's sake, Holmes.
My dear Watson. My dear
Watson.
What? You thought of something.
Never again shall I criticize your glorious habit of thinking in only two dimensions.
Only you can be quite so insulting and complimentary all at the same time. Come on, what do you mean, two dimensions?
I'll show you. Look at this. Solid metal, cylindrical, yes?
Yes. Oh, I've never seen anything like it before.
Well, neither have I, but suppose I hold it up to the light.
You're not trying to tell me it's transparent.
Well, of course not. I'm asking you to look at its profile. Think in two dimensions. Now there. You see?
Holmes, I'm sorry.
Squared off at one end, pointed at the other with a series of V-shaped grooves.
Well, it looks like... Oh, dear God. Is it a key?
It's a key.
Close the door. Now, if I'm right, and this is a key, what does it unlock?
Why make a key such a peculiar shape?
Well, to disguise its true purpose. The lock is somewhere in this room.
How do you know?
Well, this is Harden's sanctum, his private domain. It has to be in here. A secret lock opened with a disguised key known to no one but its owner. A triple layer of security. Whatever that lock protects is valuable indeed. But where is it? Where is it?
Holmes, this room may be a private sanctum, but it still has to be cleaned.
Yes, probably by some undermaid or tweenie too odd to ask questions or pry where she's not wanted.
No, she still might have noticed something. It has to be worth a try.
Yeah, it does, you're right. Find the girl and bring her here.
Come in, Annie. But don't be scared.
No, sir.
Sit down, Annie.
I couldn't, sir.
Now, please do sit down, Watson.
Yes, sir. Here.
Thank you, sir.
This is the first time Annie's been in here since it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very grateful to you, Annie.
You are, sir?
You're being very brave. Now, this won't take long, and you might well be helping us to find out who killed your master.
I might, sir.
Yes, indeed. Now, I understand that your duties included cleaning in this room.
Yes, sir.
Did anyone else do so as well?
No, sir. It was my job. The master picked me out special.
Very good. And did he give you any special instructions?
Sir?
Well, did he ask you not to disturb the papers on his desk? Anything like that?
Oh, I see. Well, yes, he did ask me that. And I never did, not once.
No, of course you didn't. Now, think carefully, Annie. Was there anything else in this room that he asked you never to touch? Anything else at all?
Well, yes, sir. There was.
You'll have given her quite a standing with the rest of the staff. How I helped Sherlock Holmes. She'll be telling that story for years.
She deserves all the attention she can get.
You really think she's given us the answer?
She was forbidden to go near two things. The surface of the desk and this display cabinet. What other explanation could there be?
Well, perhaps these are the rarest souvenirs, the most valuable.
No, there are far more exotic items in the other cases. Well, now, let's have a look at the door. Well, well.
What?
It isn't locked. The perfect smokescreen. Now...
Holmes!
Relax, Doctor. I told you. Cheap trinkets for undemanding tourists. Now, let me see. Harden was even cleverer than I thought. Ah.
What is it? A safe?
Yes. With a most individual style of lock. The mysterious cylinder goes in... and turns. Et voila.
What's inside?
This. Behold the item that the late Mr. Harden was at such pains to conceal from the world.
A checkbook.
A checkbook. In the name of... Fascinating. In the name of Mr. John Smith.
I simply don't understand this at all.
Well, Mr. Holmes, can you explain this madness?
I doubt very much if madness is involved, Mr. Phillips. This checkbook is a most Interesting document.
Yes, the latest in a long series, if the serial numbers are correct.
Are the counterfoils filled in?
With admirable clarity. The baffling Mr. Smith has been writing out his checks with the precision of a chronometer. One every month, always on the first, always for £20, and always payable